You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
And so that will be a great relief. Some of these horror stories that go on of these poor folks have had no power in anything for 10 days now, but they're about to get all this back. So we wish the best for them, because it's been ugly to watch some of these stories on television. But relief is in sight. Today, our friends at Channel 5 are doing a nice fundraising event over there in Midtown, Action News 5, teaming up with various parties to help people restock their food pantries, repair homes, remove trees, because there are trees down still that nobody has even touched. And they are in houses, on houses, and all of that. So it's spotty, but there are still lots of issues, and people want to help. So today it begins. It's underway right now. It's Channel 5 over in Midtown, and I guess all of their TV faces will be out front. May try and find Ron Childers and see if he is out there and can give us some insight. You can text STORM5 to 313131 to make a donation. So good luck to all of you folks over there at Channel 5. A nice touch on their part for doing this. Other stories that pop up in relation to this that continue. Many of those that were in the dark for days and are still with no access to utilities, cable, satellite, internet services, all that stuff. The question comes up, are you paying for those services, and should you, or should your bill get a break? Well, the latter would seem to be the answer there. Dish Network will gladly work with customers who had no services. They can credit them for the time they couldn't watch TV. If you did not have Dish and want to call the company or email them at care@dish.com, or there's a phone number to find. Xfinity Comcast will offer credits to impacted customers on a case-by-case basis. What does that mean?
That means you got to call up and explain your situation to some customer service rep, who I guess will then decide whether or not you get the credit.
I would rather have every tooth in my head pulled than get on the phone to these people and have to explain this after being on hold for a half hour. They're doing the best I can, I have to assume.
Yeah.
But still, geez, just on a normal day, it's... so, anyway, I suppose they mean well, and let's assume they will. Somebody has already gotten a credit. After 5 days with no power, he got $47 off. All right.
Yeah.
So...
And MLGW won't charge you for the time you have no power because, well, you had no power.
Right, and the meter will reflect that. So that's an easy one. The Mid-South Food Bank handing out food to storm victims at several locations. There will be 3 emergency mobile food pantries this week. To qualify to receive food, you must bring a proof of residency that matches the same zip code where the pantry is set up. So you just can't wander up and say, yo, I'm a little hungry, and no, that won't cut it. This includes an MLGW bill with an address that matches the name of address. Let's just make it as complicated as possible. But people would take advantage because they do.
They are trying to make sure that the people who get the food are the people who need the food.
And that's a fair deal. The mobile pantries are East Shelby Drive, in Orange Mound, and various places, which you can find, I'm sure, on 1,000 sites across the Mid-South. Oh, let's see. This thing, on a different note, though, but it's the timing is pretty good. Mayor Luttrell proposed this idea some months ago, and it has come to fruition. They had, hundreds of kids showed up to apply to work on the Fight Blight team this summer at the library. And they hired 100 of them. So these kids, the point was to get them off the street, for one thing, to show them how the world works and about having a work ethic. They get paid for it. Next 8 weeks, young folks ages 14 to 24 will be paid $9 per hour to clean up areas all over the Mid-South. So they will pick up trash and... Gosh, they've got extra now, and this may be a long 8 weeks for them. The county picks up 30 tons of trash a month. And paying these kids benefits the city and the entire area. So a nice touch by the mayor, and this begins, I guess, this week. There's a job fair, too, coming up. Memphis Jobs for Teens, that's a new program. Washing cars, fighting blight in Orange Mound, and so on and so forth. So this job fair is coming up on Monday morning at 8, the evening at 8 p.m. So these things will be up on our website and so on, so you can look at them if you want to. The other, here we go back to the schools. These schools are just out. Dorsey Hobson just signed a new contract, which he deserves, and he earned by showing patience and good sense and judgment, while some of the idiots around him just turned this into a shaky scene at times that it just doesn't seem to make any sense how they handle their business, firing teachers, rehiring them. When the budget is $1 billion, there are many conflicting comments and facts and figures here. This thing from Tresvant High School that reared its head last week, the State Department has been involved with this for several months. And now they plan to, I guess they found enough things that were off-kilter there to audit every high school in the district. This is going to be a very extensive look at what goes on in these schools, and I just can't imagine the horrific things they will find. If the allegations of cheating and changing numbers to make a teacher or a principal look better, and that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. Oh, sure.
There were allegations of sexual misconduct and other things that were just highly inappropriate. So this audit, I'm guessing, is just for numbers and books and such as that. But they will also be looking at how this system is run. And that should bring up some fun things. So we'll see how all of these things go.
Yeah, I want to follow up on this in a couple, two months and see what comes
up. If they had this done in 2 months, it'll be very surprising. This will take a long time. But they opened up this can of worms, and it's the last thing that they want or need over there, but it's going to happen anyway. There are too many questions about this and where this money goes, and there are just a number of tentacles that extend from the foundation of this whole thing for there not to be some questions asked, and they're going to ask them. So there we go. We could not go any further without the acknowledgement. Some of you who are old enough to know are your grandparents, although this generation, there aren't many of them left. Today is the anniversary of D-Day. 73 years ago, 1944, June 6th, the biggest invasion in military history, America and its allies, went into Normandy, which is in France. And if you have ever watched The Longest Day,
or the first 15 minutes of Finding Private Ryan?
Yep.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yes. You understand what went down. And if you haven't, you should. This was the apex, the zenith of all of this stuff. This movie, or these movies, will show you the preparation. They kept putting it off because of bad weather. The beaches at Normandy are flat. And the Germans had been camped there just waiting for this for months on end and didn't know they were coming, and they were surprised. And there's a scene in the Longest Day that they gaze out and, there's all this fog on the ocean, and they see this incredible alliance of ships and airplanes and things headed right their way. Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, there are five or six, and the British took one area, the U.S. took one, others took to watch it, the actual place, if you ever in your life, you know, one year you ought to skip going to Destin and go to Paris, France, and take the train down to Normandy and go to where all of this went down and changed the world and changed that whole war. But you can go to this little bitty town, and the name right now escapes me. It is the only town down there on that coast of France that was not destroyed, because the German army made a deal with the priests in churches and elsewhere. They would not destroy the town if they could let them, you know, stay there and house their officers and things like that. And so this town, it's called Bayeux, B-A-Y-E-U-X. And this town sits there to this very day with signs that say, thank you, USA, thanks, Americans, and our flag flies there. But you can get in this van and go on a tour of this place and go to these beaches and stand there where all of this went down, and it will give you chills for weeks. It's the place also with the famous graveyard of those white crosses, all perfectly aligned, and you can walk among those crosses and look at the names and the ages of the young men that died that day, 18, 19, 20 years old, from Oklahoma, from California, from Florida. It is kind of a numbing thing to do. And there are just all these things to go and look at this place called Point du Hoc, which is where they came in, and the American Rangers. There's a movie about this too, and a book too, or several books. And the Rangers scaled what was kind of a flat, rocky surface to get to these Germans. And on Point du Hoc, here in the 2000s, whatever it is, 2015, 17, there are still German bunkers there, giant holes where these mortars hit as we bombed the crap out of the Germans. But it is a place, once in your lifetime, you should go there and just kind of get a sense of what went on. And it is just an incredible thing to see that will always stay with you. But anyway, any of your grandparents or your parents who are alive still in 1944, they may have lived a long life, but there weren't many of these old guys left.
No, they'd be in their 90s easy.
Yeah, they. But boy, that was quite a day. And if you do seek history, The Longest Day is probably the movie that does this the most justice and shows what went on. And it was a very complex invasion that was just something else. So we salute those men on that day that did that, and because it was just unreal to see, I'm sure. But these movies do, in a great sense, recreate cinematically what went down. And so watch them and remember those things that are a part of your history and a part of the history of this country. So beyond that, today we have, I don't know, we're gearing up for the FedEx St. Jude Classic tomorrow. One of the biggest golf events on the tour comes here for its 60th year. Tomorrow it begins is the media day, and we'll be there doing some broadcasting and hanging around and being part of this big event in Memphis. And this year, a great number of very famous people playing golf. It should be nice and cool for it, not the usual oppressive heat in this town. So that will be tomorrow morning. And today, Kyle Vesey will join us. Today, the city council may in fact sign this budget today. I heard that this morning. That may be a pipe dream that somebody came up with on the TV, but if that's the fact, well, then good for them. So we'll see if that really is what's going on. As far as any other the other national news, hey, guys, good luck. The investigations, that I'm so tired of all these people and their faces. I guess The FBI man, Mr. Comey, who was fired, will be questioned on Thursday. There's a new story every day that comes up about some discovery of something somewhere, and it's all a... it's just a pile of steaming feces that will be investigated. And this may go on forever. So that's up there. Oh, and old Brian Kelsey, bless his heart. He's one of our great reps up in Nashville that does work of some kind. And there are questions now about use of his campaign funds, if they were spent inappropriately. And of course, this has never come up before with any politician ever.
Oh, no.
So we're shocked by this. Involving transactions in Kelsey's campaign, hint at straw donor concerns. Lawmakers deny any financial wrongdoing. What a shock.
Well, I guess it's settled then, right?
That's it right there. Hell with, you know. It's just one more day and one more politician. Not really a great concern. Enjoy your day. It'll be muggy. It'll be a bit warm. I'm sure we'll get through it just fine. And you take care of yourself. We also have today, there's a sounder at some point that will play, and you'll qualify to win all this stuff for your dad for Father's Day, a trimmer and a blower, and a bunch of other stuff from Bartlett Small Engines, car washes, and things like that for your pop for Father's Day, which is coming up a week from this Sunday.
Yep.
So some emails, knock yourself out, mail at drakeinthemorning.com. We have that. We have sports. The Predators played last night. It was actually kind of fun to watch some hockey for a little bit. So they played very well. That series is now tied 2-2. And I guess Tuesday?
Yes.
We're not back to basketball till tomorrow, I guess. I can't keep up. But we'll run down the baseball from yesterday and whatever sports news is worthy of your time and all of that, plus the emails and all those things coming up after we do a short break and come back.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Sports, I don't know. The Predators, they're up in Nashville, and they played hockey on TV last night, and they won. It was kind of fun to watch. I don't know if NBC has different camera angles. They seem to be closer to the ice or something, because hockey is one of several sports that is appreciated much more if you're there, kind of like NASCAR. On TV, it's a bunch of cars going fast, round and round and round. If you're there, it's different. Hockey is the same way. These games, to be there live, are just a gas. It's lots of fun to watch. On TV, not so much. But last night, NBC's coverage was really good, and it seemed to be closer to the action or something. But the Predators won last night. 4-1, that series is now tied at 2 games apiece between them and the Pens, as they call them. Not Penguins, the Pens. So they resume play, I don't know when, sometime this week. Tomorrow night, game 3, right? Yeah, of the NBA thing. This ain't going to last much longer. All of the experts are talking and speaking, and it's kind of hard to argue with. I mean, it really does get tiresome to have these radio teams break down every play from the tip-off to the buzzer. But the point is that Golden State is being called maybe the best NBA team ever. And to watch them play, Draymond Green and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, these guys are, they're just really, really good. You look back to the mid-80s and how good the Showtime Lakers were with Magic and Kareem and Michael Cooper. And all of those guys were just remarkable to play, or to watch play. So they and the Celtics had some great games, some great finals back then. Then we had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all those guys in the 90s. And then it's been Golden State and the Cavaliers the past couple of years. It was LeBron James and the Heat. But even LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love likely cannot do much to stop this Golden State train because they are on a roll. And they have won easily the past two games. But this time last year, it was the same thing. They were up two games, went back to Cleveland, and Cleveland played much better. But this time, it seems that this Warrior team is just destined. They are so good that even LeBron and his boys may not be able to keep up with them because they run, and shoot threes, and you can't stop that. They haven't yet, but coaches have ways of slowing them down. Maybe they should knife somebody or something, because otherwise you can't stop these guys. They're just too darn good. So that's tomorrow night, game three. It may be over by the end of the weekend because Golden State has not lost a game yet in the playoffs. It does seem, though, that it'd be weird if the Cavaliers didn't get to win one game because the NBA wants them to win one. So who knows? This could be a sweep, maybe not. Lots of money at stake with sponsorships and so on, and we all know how those things work. So that's tomorrow night. The first two games of the NBA finals have been the most watched since Michael Jordan's last game in 1998.
Wow.
His championship. So when you put the stars on TV playing each other, that's what you get. They've been blowouts, though, and so it's up from last year, and people will watch, I'm sure, in droves tomorrow evening. The rest of this stuff is not particularly compelling. The NFL next few weeks, will be in their OTAs, organized team activities, where all the guys show up, and they wear helmets and shorts and jerseys, and run through drills and just kind of be organized. There's not much hitting or any of that stuff. They just kind of have a summer gathering and prepare to be in camp. Now, this is June 6th, so the Hall of Fame game is usually the first Sunday in August. So we're about a month or 5 weeks away from NFL teams being in camp for real, believe that or not. And then college teams are right behind them, so... It's going by quick. Baseball's about 55 games in. Last night, the Reds beat the Cardinals. Cards have lost four in a row. The Phillies beat Atlanta. The Giants win. The Cubs beat Miami. They've come back from being in a kind of a dead streak to win four straight. Houston has, they're a great baseball team, the best record in the league right now. Nationals and Oakland also win last night. Any emails you want to send, you can do that just anytime. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com. Go right ahead.
Sure thing. Sally wrote in saying, good morning. Thank you for your segment on Normandy. I have been there. No words, movie, book, or can truly
no
show
words.
Or explain what happened there. I've stood where the Germans hid. I've yep. looked out on the beach where our brave men walked into that massacre. I walked through that cemetery. I'd laid rocks on as many Jewish headstones as I could find. Yes, among the many cross headstones, there are Jewish star headstones. So what a perfect way to put it. Skip Destin and go to Normandy. It's truly amazing to see.
Yeah, it is, and thank you so much. It is hard to describe, although those films don't do it justice, but to explain it, it's not like a normal beach. They're real, real flat, and they come in, and when you get, in about 100 feet, it all becomes kind of rocky, and it all goes straight up. And so all of these ships and such came rolling in there on a flat beach, and they had no cover, and the Germans were up on top of these beaches, Omaha and Utah, and they were just waiting for them and picked them off like it was really ugly to see as they do some of these things in these film recreations. But it's an unusual beach. There's no cover. It's flat as a flitter. And it was also, to me, the word isn't offensive, but the beach, I was there some years ago and just stood there in awe and just closed my eyes and thought, man, what occurred here? Not that, this was 1944. That wasn't that long ago, and I thought, oh my, it just, and then there's people throwing Frisbees and laying out in their lawn chairs. And it seemed to me to be disrespectful.
I don't know. I guess life has to go on.
It does.
If you are a resident there.
It does. But, I mean, it's just this place has been in so many movies and documentaries, and the hedgerows are very famous. And anyway, thank you, ma'am, for your commentary.
She goes on to say, no person can go there and not be changed. I'm thankful to have that experience.
Thank you. You're that will change your mind and will never leave your mind what happened there and the way that it looks and the way that it feels and always will.
And let's see, we're talking about the Beatles there, and this one from Amber says, I was very impressed with that documentary on PBS about Sgt. Pepper's. Many things stuck out to me, but one of the things I never put together, I don't know why, was how the decision to stop touring directly correlated with the creation of this album.
Yep.
They didn't have to condense their studio time to make it back out for more shows, and they also no longer had to make albums that could be recreated live. I know they spent significant time in the studio creating new techniques for the album, but it never clicked that the whole thing was possible because they just weren't touring anymore.
Yeah, they quit in 1966. The last show was at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And prior to that, they had to have a single out, I guess, every 8 to 12 weeks. At one point in 65, the number 1 through 5 spots on the Billboard chart, the Beatles.
Yeah.
So they kept having to, you know, they just churned them out. And I was surprised, which you can see in 8 Days a Week, the film that was made by Ron Howard. It shows these live performances. And I was shocked to see him playing Day Tripper and Nowhere Man and things that ended up on the albums afterward. But that last show, they just all had enough. It was truly out of control. And if you see this film, you will understand that. But the PBS thing is so well done, but it just gave them time to think and sit and write songs and come up with these abstract, completely unusual tunes and approaches to what became the album that is 50 years old this month, Sgt. Pepper's. But yeah, it's a trip, and that show is... And so last night, just by the way of, I don't know, balance, to show you how bands of that era, the entire 70s, I guess, they had a special last night because it's Pledge Week, or it was the night before last, on the Carpenters. And you may go, oh, they were cheesy and they suck. Well, that's a dumb observation. Because her voice and what they did was just remarkable. They began right about in 1970, I guess Close to You was the first hit. And so at that time, as a kid, I had the Carpenters, I had Led Zeppelin II, maybe some James Brown, but there was so much out there to choose from. But they ran through all the hits, and they would have the year on there. And in 1970, they had Close to You, and then in about 4 months, the next hit. And in the course of about 4 years, they had 7 or 8 hits because they made them keep, you know, just
going.
Just keep going, keep going, keep going. They would tour, they would tour, they would tour. Mid-late 70s, it kind of backed off some. They had their own TV show, which I spaced off totally. And then Karen got sick, and I didn't realize that she died at 32 years old.
Wow.
32 years old, but the voice of an angel. And they were a unique band who didn't get much respect. Well, yeah, they did, because they were just so darn good, but they were unusual at the time. But because you had them going on, and they were... decidedly not cool, but Led Zeppelin was really cool, and you had the Beatles in there and the Stones in there, and it was just one of those times when everything blossomed all at once, and you could go, they had a glimpse of the top five at one point. Number one was Close to You. Number three was Mama Told Me. And the Stones were in there someplace, but all these bands all at once just made the 70s that breeding ground for all that has come since then. But these shows are all on KNO, so watch them and learn something. It's fun to watch. Yeah, for a change. Yeah, stop watching Mama's Family. It really is not that good.
And on the same topic, Paul says, I think it's pretty neat that while the Beatles were creating this mind-blowing album at Abbey Road Studios, Pink Floyd was recording The Pipers at the Gates of Dawn in Studio 3 just down the hall.
Yeah, that's was a really kind of a plain building.
Yeah.
The sign outside said EMI Studios, and now it says Abbey Road. And one of the other things that caught my eye in this book last night, the Beatles sell 1 million albums a year. Still. Led Zeppelin sells 500,000 a year. No, 800,000 a year. And Pink Floyd sells half of that. And there was somebody else. Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and Fleetwood Mac do about 400,000 every year.
Still. New stuff.
And yeah.
Sales.
And, yes. And so the Beatles they just reinvent themselves with every generation. It's a very unusual story. That's why it's been kind of a fascination for many people the past couple of months with this book out and with
the 50th of
yeah, it really is a remarkable piece. And this book by Rob Sheffield is really worth your time because it just explains the magic of what that was and what it made possible all these years later.
And this one came in from Charlie about the subject line is, Kathy, whoever, he says, has no one heard of GWAR? They've decapitated every American president since Bush Sr. in stage here in Memphis, and they were first. I think that's the problem, though, is not really a whole lot of people have heard of GWAR to make any sort of controversy go across the country.
No, GWAR isn't covered by most news outlets, which is sad.
And Philip wanted to know, with the FedEx St. Jude Golf Classic happening, also happening this week, he's the 69th annual Germantown Charity Horse Show going on the 6th through the 10th. So you have choices.
And very good, sir. So
very good. If there's anything you'd like to share with us or make sure we want to know, go ahead. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is the email address, and it receives things all the time.
Thank you much for chiming in. We appreciate it very much. And have a good morning, and just drive safe. Watch where you are.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.